Good evening. We're glad to be joining you again via internet. Tonight, we're going to be talking about experiencing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you heard this morning's message, you know that it was involving the experiencing the power of Jesus' resurrection. There is a place in our lives that where we need God's Holy Spirit operating. And so for the next few evenings, so far we've been studying prophecy on Sunday nights, but I think we need to spend some time studying the part that the Holy Spirit wants to play in each of our lives. And so tonight we will begin a series, Experiencing a Relationship with the Holy Spirit, Part 1. For our scripture, we will use John 14, verses 15 through 17. John 14, verses 15 through 17. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is a statement that Jesus made to his disciples before the day of Pentecost, before he went to the cross. This morning, we recognize the Holy Spirit as the source and power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. There is so much more about the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the believer and even the non-believer that it would be negligence on my part not to take some time to encourage you with reminders of what the Bible tells us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think a good starting place would be the place where Jesus promised his disciples a special relationship with a person he called the Comforter. The relationship begins with our keeping of Jesus' commandments and his promise to give us someone who will live with us. But the promise went much further. Jesus promised that the Spirit would eventually live in us. I don't believe that the apostles had any idea of what Jesus was promising them. It wasn't until that day that we call Pentecost that they had an understanding of what Jesus meant. Peter was the first to recognize what was happening. It's a long passage, but it must be the place that we start in order for all of us to understand as Peter did. Acts 2, 14 through 33. Acts 2, 14 through 33. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you about the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. That was Peter's explanation for what was taking place on the day of Pentecost. Keep in mind that our Lord Jesus Christ promised this event to the apostles before he went to the cross. What we have just read out of the book of Acts was just the beginning. It did not end there, it just began. If you're saved right now, you have a specific relationship with God's Holy Spirit. And in the next few weeks, we will address that relationship and the purpose of the Holy Spirit being a part of your life. As we begin tonight, I would like to share some information that many of you already know, but I think it will be enjoyable to contemplate the knowledge again, because sometimes we forget just how God intended things to work. And life gets complex, and we sometimes get sidetracked and miss out on the real joy of the moment because we're looking in the wrong direction or we're concentrating on the wrong situation or seeing it in the wrong way. We should remember that there are several ways that the Holy Spirit ministers to us. We need to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is the same person. He is part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead. The first verses that we started with tonight was the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples of a comforter to take Jesus's place in the world. He would not be Jesus. He would not work like Jesus worked. He would work in an entirely different way. Jesus was physical in his ministry to people. The Holy Spirit will be spiritual in his ministry to people. Our first contact with the ministry of the Holy Spirit is when he convicts us about the things that we were doing or the things that we are doing that are not according to what God has told us. They are a violation of God's will for us. That's an important part of the Spirit's ministry to us. Now, we can ignore his convicting us of sin, and we can harden our hearts. And eventually, after enough time, we will no longer hear him. We will successfully become reprobate. Romans 1:28 tells us of men who have done so. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has been known to come upon someone who is not pleasing God, as we read about in the Old Testament book of Zechariah. In this prophecy, of preparation for the millennial reign of Christ, Israel comes to understand that what they did to Jesus and to mourn for their actions. At the time that this happens, the people will not be in fellowship with God, but the Holy Spirit will convict them, and more than just to repent, he will come upon them and move them to recognize their Messiah and be converted. This will be done from the outside. There is one other relationship that we need to look at this evening. Most of you, if not all of you, will understand this last relationship. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 tell us, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The Apostle Paul is describing to the church at Corinth what happens the instant we believe. But that is only part of what happens. There's more. Galatians 3:27-28 tell us, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." When we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, one other thing takes place. We are indwelled by the Spirit, and he will live in our heart for as long as we live. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" It's as though the Holy Spirit, that through him, we become the children of God, and that makes us a family of God. And that's why we want to meet again, and why we have set a date of May 3rd, when we will all come together as a family of God and worship God once more. There are many scriptures that teach us this truth about the family of God. Romans 8:15-16, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's like calling daddy to God. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." If you're saved tonight, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God. And when you go to him, you can go to him as daddy, because he loves you that much. What did we do to get into this relationship? Galatians 3:26-27. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." It is faith whereby this relationship begins. Once we have established this relationship, our direction is changed. Ephesians 5:1-2. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." The Holy Spirit makes one more thing possible for each of us, with no exceptions. 1 John 5:1-2. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." We've been looking at many different scriptures that deal with the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. But what if you don't have that relationship? Well, then, you don't have Jesus as your Savior. Because everything that we have been talking about this evening is part of the relationship that a true believer has with the Holy Spirit of God. If we have believed on Jesus as our Savior, we are not capable of maintaining a relationship or that relationship. But the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us in that relationship with our Heavenly Father. There is one part of our relationship with the Holy Spirit that many believers do not understand. And let me take some time right now to explain this relationship in a way that will make it more understandable. When a person is saved, at the very moment that they believe, the Holy Spirit does several things. First, He regenerates that soul and makes it alive again. At the same time, He indwells the believer for the rest of his or her life. By indwelling the believer, the Spirit becomes a part of them. He will never depart as long as they live. The confusion comes from our definition of two words, filled and baptized. Being filled involves the Spirit's temporary indwelling presence. Being baptized means being anointed forever with the Spirit residing in our hearts. In the life of the believer, there is only one baptism, but many fillings. The baptism is for eternity. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Even a non-believer can experience an anointing of the Spirit for a particular event, but the anointing is lost when the Spirit is gone. As believers, we are to follow the leading of the Spirit in the living of our lives. Unfortunately, many believers don't understand what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. They resist the Spirit and fail to fulfill God's word for their lives and God's will for their lives. How sad it is for a believer to come to the end of life and wish they had lived differently. But it's too late at the end of life. We are to listen for that still, small voice that Elijah heard. We read about it in 1 Kings 19, verses 9 through 12. Let me read those four verses. 1 Kings 19, verses 9 through 12. "And he came thither to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11, and he said, Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And that is what got Elijah to respond, was that still small voice. If you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling your soul. He does not scream at you. He speaks in a still small voice, and you must be listening in order to hear it and react to it, just like Elijah did. Many believers have difficulty discerning between their wicked heart and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will not lead us to do anything that goes against God's word. Our hearts, on the other hand, are deceitful, and they will take us away from God's will. We must be very careful in determining who and what we are going to listen to. This message tonight has been an introduction to a subject that we all need for more study and information. We need to know more about God's Holy Spirit and the work and the place that He should have in our life. Sunday evenings have been involved in prophecy for some time now here at this church, but I think that it could be more profitable for us to review what we need to know about the Holy Spirit. During the first 3 months that Connie and I were here with you, we studied about the Holy Spirit, and I think we have enough new people that a new study might be in order, helpful and profitable for all of us. The material will all be new, and we will not resort to something that you've already heard. Next week, we will continue with our study of the Holy Spirit in the evening service and His part in our everyday lives. In the meantime, spend some time talking to the Holy Spirit and see if you can establish a better line of communication with Him. Father, thank you again for sending us your Holy Spirit to minister to the needs of our hearts and our lives. Father, we know He's real. He's here. He's living in us. May we hear Him. May we follow Him. May we obey Him and your word as you would have us do, and we will praise you for what you do in each of our lives. Thank you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.